welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. I greet you and bless you in the wonderful name above every name, the name of Jesus. This is Sister Judith, and I'm glad you joined me today as we continue on in a message I've entitled, Only Believe. We've been looking at the narrative that is found about the death of Lazarus in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And in verse 39, Jesus speaks to those gathered. He says, take away the stone where Lazarus is buried. And Martha begins to object. She said, Lord, he's been dead 10 days. It's not going to be very pleasant. He stinketh. And in verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Don't we want to see the glory of God? Amen. In these days, as never before, a time is coming when the knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as waters cover the sea. But we're not in that point of time yet. We know that every eye shall behold him when he returns, and he will set up his kingdom. But now we are in this world, but not of it. And of course, tribulation is a part of that experience of being in the world, but not of it. And beloved, sickness and death is the last enemy to be put underfoot. And why didn't Jesus just go around raising all the dead? Well, he did it to show in these instances and that are recorded in the scripture to show his power, that death did not limit him at all. He could speak to, you know, the little damsel, and she could arise. He could speak to the woman of Nain, that dead son, who was her only heir, that death did not hold any terrors or barriers or hindrances to Jesus. He's the creator of life. He spoke the worlds into existence. And so it is important to understand that we, because of the pressures and the trials we face, many times we are guilty of the very same thing that those who knew Jesus intimately, who were with him continually for 3 years of ministry, had problems with unbelief. And the Lord understands that. And yet we have to understand that unbelief is not an infirmity or just a weakness. It is a sin, and it's a denial of the word of him who cannot lie. God is, he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. All things are possible, he said, to him that believeth. And the Holy Spirit must convince of sin before he quickens into newness of life. And so that's the best thing we can do. In fact, let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we have all been guilty of that sin which so easily besets us, the sin of unbelief. Lord, we're creatures of this time-space continuum. We are limited in the natural by our physical senses. But Lord, you've asked us to stake our belief system on the realm of the unseen, your world, Lord, which will one day become so very evident to us, and we shall behold you with our own eyes and not another, as Job said. But Lord, I'm asking right now that you will forgive us of unbelief and help us, Lord. Help us to know and to understand with everything in us that there is nothing too hard for you, and that we will believe you for the impossible in our lives. You said to ask largely that our joy may be full, and so we're doing that now, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. I'm thinking of that scripture I shared at the beginning of this week, Psalm 119 and 32, where the psalmist says, I will run in the way of thy commandments. When? Well, God has to do something when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And so, Father, While we thank you for the forgiveness of unbelief, we ask you to enlarge our heart. We ask, Lord, for increased measures of faith. Lord, that we will know that we will know it. Even if the disciples ask, Lord, increase our faith, we're asking you to do a supernatural work in our lives, that we will know that nothing is impossible for you, and that we will enlarge the place of our tent. We will strengthen our stakes, and we will know, God, that you will cause us to inherit the desolate places, that our territory, our metron of influence and authority is going to be enlarged. And Lord, that is your desire for us, that you will increase even the talents you have given to us, Lord, that we may double them, Father, and you will tell us that you, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and that you will increase. We've been faithful over little, you will cause us to be ruler over much. That's our prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so what we see in Jesus saying to Martha, said I not that if thou wouldest believe, you would see the glory of God? And so, you know, whatever it takes to bring us into the place where we can believe God for the impossible. You know, I'm thinking of that marvelous passage found in the Philippians, the third chapter, verse 10. And I want you to just hear this, a familiar passage. But Paul says he wants to know him. Well, let's go back to 8. He says, I count all things as loss, but for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Can we say that? To count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, but that which is of faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness that God imparts. This is the scripture I want you to really hear, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable to his death. What is he saying here? He says he wants more than anything else to know Christ. Is that your desire, that you can intimately know this God that you serve? And so often, a lot of popular preaching is that we can know him in the power of his resurrection. Glory to God. And we get all excited about the glorious things that faith can see wrought in and through the lives of believers, but we tend to not focus on the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And beloved, I'm telling you that sometimes we're preaching just half a gospel. We talk about the power of his resurrection. We're not talking about the fellowship of his sufferings. That's a bad word in some pulpits. No, no, you don't want to talk about sufferings. No, no, sickness is not for the glory of God. Absolutely not. God gets glory when you're healed. Well, that's absolutely true, and I absolutely firmly agree with that. However, when his disciples asked about the man who was born blind, he said, who sinned, Lord, him or his parents? He said, it is for the glory of God. And in this case, this wasn't just sickness. God was raising Lazarus from the dead and extended it for a four-day period. So it was not like, well, he just seemed to have died. No, he was absolutely dead 4 days in the grave. And so we need to thank the Lord. If you want that kind of faith, whatever God brings in your life to bring you to the place of death, that the Son of God may be glorified in doing a marvelous work in and for you. That's my prayer for the body of Christ. And sometimes sickness and suffering bring a death of self-love and self-will, that the power of Christ might be manifested. Do I understand everything? No, I don't. And I doubt that there's any preacher on the face of the earth that has a complete comprehension of the mysteries of God. Resurrection life, obviously, can only come when there's been death, death to self, death to our own agenda, death to our own hopes, our desires, as good and as beautiful and as wonderful as they may seem, where you can see there was nothing in it but God's glory. You didn't want anything for yourself, and still there was defeat, and still there was failure, and still the lack of fulfillment, the lack of experiencing the joy of having a hope fulfilled. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a tree of life, beloved. How often is because of the things we've gone through, our unbelief hinders the manifestation of God's power. In Matthew 13 and 58, Jesus said, or the word says, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. How often do we say, Lord, if you had been here, if you had moved, if you had answered my prayer, there wouldn't be this situation. And while he's saying to us, if thou wouldest believe. Oh, beloved, there is just nothing impossible for our God. Well, I want to stop right here because I sense the Holy Spirit wants to minister. For the Lord would say, my beloved, look not at the limitations of self or your circumstances or even the dimensions of your faith, for I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I imparted that initial faith to you, that you, and the grace that you could accept me and that I could come into your life. And shall I not complete that work that I began in you? Therefore, know that the trials and the troubles, the sorrows you have gone through have been for this purpose, to increase your trust in me, that you will continue to serve me regardless of the circumstances, no matter how high the price. You will not turn your back on the one who saved you. I am your Redeemer, and that faith that holds fast shall be rewarded, even as Job's faith was rewarded, and he experienced a double-fold blessing in the end. So shall you see, as you hold fast to my promises, as you walk with me, as you don't count the costs, but as you say, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. So shall you see my miracle working power manifest in your life and in those things you have placed before me on my altar, says the Lord. Praise God. Well, I thank you, Lord, for your ministry. Lord, we receive that word. And Father, I ask you to just move in the lives of your people. And beloved, if you need God's miracle working power in your life, I ask that if the Lord is moving upon you, you would share that need. The announcer would give our contact information. I do pray for you every day and thank God for you, my UCM partners, as well as my radio family. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.